Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, thanks. Wow, I didn't even do anything yet, so thanks so much. But I'm so glad to be here, and, you know, if you're new this morning, I used to work here. So not that long ago, too, just in August, I moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where it just snowed last week. So April is one of those crazy months where you have, 70-degree days, and then the next day it's snowing. So that happens. But Michigan's great, and I moved out there. I moved out to Michigan. I love Granite Springs Church. I loved working with Kevin and Matt and those other guys. But I moved to Michigan for love. I got married in October, and it was amazing. It was a small gathering. I think maybe you saw a picture of that if you were here. Around that time, I think they showed a picture. So that was just a really wonderful. And so Kelly and I, my wife, are settling into Grand Rapids. She's just done with her first year of school. She's getting a master's degree. She wants to be a counselor, specializing in trauma and grief. And so I started a new job at a different church. You know, this church I'm at now, I mean, they're good people. But you guys are the best. So they don't compare, but that's okay. This is being recorded, so hopefully no one from that church hears that I just said that. But anyways, no, it's a great church. I work at a place called Alger Park Church, and it's about the same size as Granite Springs. And I have a co-pastor named Stefan, and we're having a lot of fun together. But they flew me out to do a workshop yesterday. I did a workshop Saturday morning called Ways to Pray. And we looked at two ancient ways to pray, one of them being 1,500 years old. The second one was 500 years old. And then the third one was about 2 months old. It was called Haiku Bible Study, and I think Matt mentioned that. And so that was a lot of fun to do that with everyone together. But I'm happy to be here, of course, this morning and preaching. And I always tell people that I'm a person who has lots of hobbies, so I'm never one of these people that, like, you know, if for some reason I couldn't work, like, I would be completely bored. No. Like, I have so many things I like to do. I like to ride my bike. I like to draw. I like to do artwork. I like to have coffee with friends. And one of the things I like to do is I like to write poetry, which is kind of a new, relatively new thing that I've just kind of been interested in the last, like, 6, 7, 8 years. And I tried writing it. And I have a couple books out, and I just wrote a book of poetry called The Reason Love Reaches. And it's a little book of poems for Lent. So Lent is a 40-day period in the church Christian calendar. We all just went through it. And so I wrote 40 little poems to accompany the Lenten journey called The Reason Love Reaches. And I had a bunch of friends read it, and then I reached out to a couple of those friends and said, hey, I know that you just read my book. Would you be willing to write a little blurb for the back? Like just a little quote, a couple sentences, 1 or 2, 3, 4 sentences. So I had a bunch of people respond, and they sent me a bunch of stuff. And one of my friends, he wrote a quote, and it was kind of a bigger quote, but I just wanted to share one little sentence with you. He wrote this for the back. He said, I grew up thinking that Jesus was a subject to be studied instead of a person to be encountered. And I just thought, wow, I don't think my friend is alone in that. In fact, a lot of us maybe grew up thinking that Jesus was a subject to be studied, or maybe even an argument to be had, or a point to be proven, or something like that. But my friend here, he's, 37 years old, and he's just saying, you know what? I'm learning, I'm growing, and I used to think Jesus was a subject to be studied. No, he's a person to be encountered. And as we go through this sermon series, you're doing a sermon series that started last week. I think it's continuing now through the season of Easter. It's called Easter Encounters, and you're going to be looking at various encounters that Jesus had with people after his resurrection. And so I thought that sermon series is so good that we're going to steal it. And so we did. So we're doing the same sermon series at Alger Park Church. And as my co-pastor Seven and I were talking about our hopes and dreams for this sermon series, one of the things we talked about was, we're going to be looking at stories of encounters with Jesus that have happened already. We're reading about other people's stories, other people's encounters with the risen Jesus. But part of our hope, and part of my hope this morning, is that we would have encounters with Jesus. Not just that we read about them or we hear about other people's encounters, but that we ourselves would have encounters with the living Jesus. So we're going to be reading Luke 24 in your worship guide. You can turn to that if you want. That's our passage for this morning. We're going to read it from it just in a second here, but one of the things I wanted to do this morning is I want to talk about places where we're likely to have a Jesus encounter. Jesus can appear anywhere. Jesus can talk to us at any moment. But I think in our passage this morning, we're going to find there's certain places where Jesus likes to show up. So we're more likely to have a Jesus, risen Jesus, Easter encounter in these places. So I want to talk about three places where we're likely to encounter Jesus. And then I want to pair with each one of those places a practice for us. But let's read Luke 24 first. Luke 24, 36 through 48. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of the Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what it is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The first place from our passage that I think we're likely, more likely to have a Jesus encounter is in community. I don't know if you noticed, but it happens right away in verse 36. It says this, "While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them." It's really easy to miss, but almost every encounter recorded in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that Jesus has is with a group of people. It's always a group of people gathered in his name. There's something about people gathered in his name that Jesus likes to show up there. Sometimes it's as small as two people. Like I think you're going to explore the story of the road to Emmaus when two disciples are walking on the road and Jesus appears to them. Sometimes it's as small as two people. Sometimes it's as much as 11 disciples, as in our story here. The previous verse tells us that it was the 11 disciples and those with them. So we don't know exactly how many people, but it was the disciples and probably a group of people, as many as 20, maybe 30 people gathered. And just when we feel tempted to think, okay, here's a formula. Jesus is likely to show up when people gather in his name. Okay, but right when we try to say something like this, there's always exceptions to the rule, because next week you're going to explore a story where Jesus appears to one person. It's Mary Magdalene. She's in the garden, and it's just her and Jesus. Because Jesus is free. Jesus is not bound by any formulas or math. He can appear to anyone at any time. But he's likely to appear when people gather in his name. If you realize, if you look at that passage, it says, while they were still talking about this. So you have people gathered in the name of Jesus, and they're talking about Jesus. It's really a fulfillment of what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20. He said, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. I don't know if you realize this, but this morning, we're gathered in the name of Jesus. We're doing exactly what we're reading about. People gathered in his name, talking about Jesus. I have a hunch that Jesus is very, very likely to show up here this morning. In fact, he is here. Maybe you didn't realize it when you came in. Maybe you had a crazy morning. Maybe you got in a fight. Maybe it was hard to get your kids dressed. Maybe a lot of things happened. But you got here. Jesus is here. Are you ready to have a Jesus encounter? Are you ready to experience the living Jesus? I think sometimes we come to church, I know I do, and you just kind of forget about that. You sing the songs and you do communion, and you kind of, if you've been around for a while, you kind of know how it goes a little bit. And then you forget to realize that the living Jesus is here. And he wants to encounter us in some way. So the practice that I want to pair with this one is come to church. And you're doing it already, which is great. Sounds pretty easy, actually. You're here. You're doing it. Also, think about joining a small group. Think about joining a smaller group of people who are gathering together in the name of Jesus to talk about Jesus, to pray together. Maybe that's a smaller group of two or three people. Maybe it's a group of like 10. Whatever it is, I just encourage you to gather with God's people, gather in the name of Jesus. And Jesus likes to show up there. The second place where Jesus likes to show up is in our pain, in our wounds. In some ways, it's the last place that we would think to have an Easter encounter. Did you notice that in our passage, Jesus shows up with wounds, the marks of suffering. His crucified hands and feet are visible. In fact, they take center stage in our story, the hands and the feet of Jesus. In 2015, I got a notice that my high school reunion was happening. 20 years. Graduated in 1996. So in 2016, it was going to be my 20-year high school reunion. And I went to a fairly small school. It was a graduating class of about 100 people. And honestly, I don't know if you have, I mean, you've probably gotten these, right? I don't know if you went or not, but high school reunions stir up a lot of interesting feelings inside. And I had a lot of those interesting and curious feelings in me. In one sense, I was intrigued to kind of see these people that I kind of grew up with. Like my graduating class was small, and so I actually went, you know, I went through all my school years with kind of the same group of people. And so I was just kind of interested to kind of hear about what has happened in the last 20 years to all these people that I went to school with. But I also found another emotion inside, which kind of surprised me. I felt angry. And I was kind of surprised by that. And so I started just reflecting, now why do I feel angry? And as I thought about it, I remembered an old wound that I had that I'd kind of forgotten about. It happened in junior high when a very pretty and popular girl was having a birthday party, and I was not invited. And again, small school. I remember she was handing out invitations during lunch hour one day at school, so it was very public what was happening. And I was kind of hanging around a lot of people who were being invited, and I didn't get one. And I remember feeling really embarrassed. It was kind of like my first social kind of wound as like a 12-year-old, when all of a sudden I wasn't included. And don't you love high school reunions? For most of us, I think we're wounded early on in our lives. Sometimes our first wounding happens at a young age, and they're minor. I mean, I don't want to blow mine out of proportion. I think my middle school party invite or non-invite, it was a minor wounding, but I think some of us have much stronger and deeper and more painful wounds, especially if we've grown up in an abusive home, verbally, emotionally, physically abusive, or some of us were bullied a lot in grade school and high school. I could go on and on about childhood wounds, but they don't end in our childhood. In fact, as we go through life, as we live life, we experience more wounds. Did you notice that Jesus is risen from the dead, but his wounds are not erased? You think that they would be, that everything bad that has ever happened is now somehow erased. But they're not. What we see in Jesus is a resurrected Jesus with transformed wounds. Somehow his wounds have become sacred in some ways. He still bears the marks, but somehow they're different. Somehow they're healed in a way. And in fact, his wounds bring healing. Here's the practice that I want us to think about. You can't change your wounds, especially the ones that happened in childhood or even the ones that happened last week, but you can let Jesus touch them. And in fact, your wounds can be a source of healing for other people. All the hard things that you've been through can create within you compassion, kindness, gentleness, and understanding for other people who've had similar wounds. So the imagination exercise is this. Here's the practice. Pick something. For me, if I were to pick something, maybe I'd go back to that junior high day when I wasn't invited to that party. And maybe this time in my imagination as I go back there, maybe this time Jesus is there too. And maybe I'm just watching Jesus watch me not be included. And instead of having to erase it or fix it in some way, maybe Jesus just wants to touch it or speak to me about it. Maybe Jesus would say something like, "You know, Sam, I wasn't invited either. But that's okay. How about you and I, let's go do something fun." I don't know what he would say. But the imagination exercise is you don't need to forget about your wounds. You don't need to erase them. In fact, they need to be touched and transformed and healed. And that's one of the places where we find Jesus. It's very unexpected. But I can pretty much guarantee that if you can identify those places of pain in your life, and you do it with openness and kindness, you're going to find Jesus there. Well, let's talk about the third place that we're likely to encounter Jesus. It's in verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened up their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. I'm going to say something here very obvious. In fact, it's what you'd expect to hear from a pastor in a church. Read your Bible. But don't read it in a way. Please don't read it in a way to prove your points. Please don't use it in a way to prove your political stance, whatever it may be. Please don't read the Bible in a way to weaponize it so that you can prove points or win arguments. Because in this passage, we learn that the scriptures are really a doorway through which Jesus walks. One of the places you're likely to encounter Jesus is in the scriptures. So when you read your Bible, go to it wanting to encounter the living Jesus. Pray a little prayer before you read your Bible. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you, not just learn about you. I want to have an encounter. I want to know that you're real. It's okay to pray prayers like that. Go to your scriptures looking for Jesus. You can also meditate on very simple passages. Here's a couple that I picked out that I thought, you know what? I can pretty much guarantee that you're going to meet Jesus in these passages. Here's one from John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That feels like a scripture that Jesus is going to be in. Here's one from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's one more from the passage this morning, Luke 24. Peace be with you. Just take one of those little verses and just reflect on it. And tell Jesus that you want to meet him there. Remember that quote that I talked about at the beginning, my friend? He says, growing up, I thought Jesus was a subject to be studied rather than a person to be encountered. If you want to have an Easter encounter, and I know you do because I do too, then our passage shows us three places where Jesus is likely to show up. In community, when we gather in his name, in our pain and in our woundedness, and in the scriptures. These are three places where Jesus likes to show up. I pray that you can meet him there. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to meet you. We want to know your power. We want to know your hope. We want to know your joy. We want to have one of these Easter encounters that we read about. Meet us in these places and help us to meet you there. We thank you for your grace and pray us in the name of Jesus. Amen.